Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was looking at the readings for this week, I was realizing what a faithful man Joseph was. Here he is betrothed to this young woman, and she comes to him and so lets him know that she's pregnant, and he knows it's not his. I think he handled this much better than I probably would have. And he, being as he was going to just let this go. He would just sort of quietly dismiss her and move on with his life and let her move on with her life and whoever may be the father of her child. And I thought, well, that is very faithful. And he was just. He didn't want to create a scene for her. He didn't want to destroy her life over whatever had happened. But he was going to step away from it. But then something happened, right? He has this encounter in a dream. So we hear this, the righteous man of Joseph, unwilling to expose her. And then the next thing that happens is he is met by an angel in his dream, which would indicate maybe a sign of his age, because if he was a young man, he'd have had a vision, amen? But he was having dreams. He says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And shockingly, he then says, the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And seemingly, he must have said, okay. I don't think that would have been my first response. I probably would have got up the next morning saying I shouldn't have had tacos yesterday. But Joseph, no, he moves forward. He, being a faithful man, understanding some scripture, he probably fell back on hearing from the prophets. And look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. And at some point he thought, maybe this is it. So what does he do as we move further into the gospel? In verse 24, the second part, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife. So what does this mean? Well, everything for us standing here, I suspect, today. But what does it mean for us today? And I think this is just a perfect example, brothers and sisters, of what it looks like when Jesus comes into your life. We think that it's going to be this wonderful moment and everything's going to be great. And as we talked about in Bible study between services, it'll be this warm, fuzzy moment. This doesn't sound warm and fuzzy to me. This sounds like chaos. He had a plan. He had a direction, they were moving ahead, and all of a sudden this gets thrown into the midst of it, and he has to discern, what do I do now? And then he gets this message, and he says, I will do what I've always done, I will be faithful. And then we move ahead into Paul's letter to the Romans, a church which he did not plant, but one in which he intends to visit. And he's writing to them. And this portion of Paul's letter to Romans for this morning is what's called the salutation. He is sort of introducing himself, and he is opening up his letter to give some understanding as to who he is, the authority in which he moves, and a little bit of understanding of what he's about to say to the church, which would be a normal way for him to write a letter, for anyone in this time to write a letter. And it starts out with this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. As we work through this fourth Sunday of Advent, we're hearing that God calls his people. Now, Paul, we know his journey to Rome won't be all that smooth. He will get there. But the reality is, this man, Paul, came to know Christ in a very almost violent way, amen? He was on the road to Emmaus, and prior to that, by the way, he was actually on the road to Emmaus because his job and his understanding of his life was to hunt down and persecute followers of Jesus Christ. He was going to end this movement because it was creating trouble. And he wanted to be a part of what it meant to get rid of that. He wanted to get back to the law. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And on his journey doing this, with the authority and the letter in hand that allowed him to do it, he was knocked off his horse and was blinded for a few days and came back a follower of Jesus. Not just any follower, but a missionary to the ends of the earth, committed fully to being an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. I imagine that he wasn't greeted by a lot of his friends after that. Jesus entered in again, and somebody's life, as they knew it, went out the window. Happened to Joseph, happened to Paul. Now Paul gives his why. We talked a little bit about the why a couple weeks ago at our annual meeting. He says, this gospel, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is why Paul is doing this. He, in his moment of understanding, came to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And suddenly those who he was persecuting became his allies. He became their ally. In fact, initially, when someone was sent to see and be with him, I suspect they were thinking, not Paul. But his life had changed so dramatically, this is now his job. And he is going to do this work as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. This is his why. Now there's a how and a what that follows this very quickly in verse 5. How? Through whom we have received our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received grace and apostleship. That's how he's going to do it, by the grace of God that he has received. And for what reason? The what? To bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for the sake of his name. Now, if we go back and we hear Paul's why, we have to ask ourselves, do we believe what Paul believed? Do we believe that this Jesus is Lord and Savior? And we do we? Yes. Yeah, kind of. And here we are in this preparation of Advent, and we're saying we are preparing for the coming of Jesus. And then we have to say, well, do I believe that Jesus is coming? And yes, we're thinking about the incarnation, the birth of the baby Jesus, but we're also, as we know, looking at the second coming, when he will come again. And are we preparing for that? Are we grabbing a hold of that? And are we doing it for the similar reasons in which Paul is, knowing that we have been called, as Joseph was called to follow Jesus' plan, the plan of God, that Paul was called to be that plan, and are we also hearing that we have that same call? Because as Paul writes to those in Rome, as to bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for the sake of his name, verse 6, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus. To belong to Jesus. And I thought that's another strange word, right? I have some belongings. And I expect you do too. When something belongs to you, it's yours. If you looked up belong, it would say to own. And Paul is saying, Jesus owns you, brothers and sisters. In fact, in our collect today, the phrase is made that when he comes, that he will find us a mansion prepared for himself. At a mansion prepared for himself. That is our Advent prayer on this fourth Sunday of Advent, same as it is every year. I don't know if you've ever listened to it, but have you ever considered yourself to be preparing to be a mansion for Jesus to indwell? Not just a little space, because as we know, mansions tend to be a little bit larger. how big a space are we making for Jesus? I mean, our own prayer and our own tradition says we should be making a large space, that we would be a mansion for him when he comes. Now, some historically have gotten this a little bit wrong. A lovely woman back, I believe, in the 20s decided, well, there should be a mansion for Jesus when he comes. And somewhere, I believe, in the Bronx in New York, there is literally a mansion that was built for Jesus. And she had a group of followers that hung out with her for many, many years. She never lived in it, neither did they. It's huge. She lived in a little shack on the property along with some others. And what they did is they kept the mansion ready. They kept it clean and dusted and ready for when Jesus was going to come so he could have his mansion when he returns. She dabbled in Episcopalianism and also in a few other isms. Then they didn't quite come together, did they? And I think sometimes that's where we are. We think about this Jesus coming and being that we may be the sanctuary, that in our own tradition we may be the mansion prepared for himself, and that we may make this space for Jesus, and that we keep thinking, yeah, I'm going to get to that. So brothers and sisters, as we're in this time of Advent, we need to start to ask ourselves, am I ready to belong to Jesus? Am I ready to let him own me? Or am I going to be a place in which he comes and can fill me up? Or am I just going to maybe rent him a room? Or maybe plan to have him visit when it's convenient for me? Because as we know from Joseph and Paul, there is nothing convenient about having Jesus come to you. Amen? He messes us up. I mean, next thing you know, every Sunday morning, you're like, oh my gosh, it's Sunday morning, it's so cold outside. I don't even want to get out of bed. Okay, that's just me this morning. But either way, we find ourselves doing things we would never do, helping people we would never help, living in a world that we don't fully understand, and doing things we're not 100% sure how to do. Amen? I remember well as I was in seminary and I came back for a visit, my sister, who was leading youth at her church at that time in another denomination, says, will you come and talk to my youth? I said, sure. She goes, if that's in your comfort zone. And I stopped and I went, I don't know where that is anymore. If there's a comfort zone, brothers and sisters, I have not been in it for a very, very long time. I have a comfort spot, which is at the end of my couch, next to my remote, which I will retreat to before this day is over, and probably pass out, and wish I hadn't, because I'll wake up, my neck will be killing me. But the reality is, a comfort zone where I live, that went out when Jesus came in. That's what Paul's telling us by his life. That's what we're seeing in the life of Joseph. And brothers and sisters, Paul is saying that we are included and are called to belong to Jesus. Will we let him own us? Or will we just rent him space or invite him for a visit when it's convenient for us to have him among us? Because I'll tell you what, when he comes in, your plans go out the window. Thanks be to God. You see, the more we take ownership of our faith, the more we take ownership of our why, the more we understand what Paul is saying here, the more we claim our own apostleship, the more we walk in this being included of belonging in Christ, the more we seek that, the more we do that, the more we will surrender ownership of self to Christ. So when he does come, and he will, we will actually be prepared to belong to him. Amen.